Europe is something that needs to be explained. And as I have explained in the very first single solo episode here, I try to describe my home region where, you know, just drive an hour in one direction and you have crossed 10, 12, 15 different cities without seeing any borders. You know, you just, the cities are next to each other, so close that you really can't see where one city ends and where the next starts. And the same with Europe. I mean, I live in an area where I can drive with my car or by train just in a few hours to Paris or to Hamburg, Cologne. I mean, of course, that's Germany, but Amsterdam is just around the corner. I can visit Brussels, Luxembourg is just around the corner. I can go to the UK in just a few hours. This is crazy. This is bonkers. And Europe is so diverse and has so many cultural heritages. It's so amazing what's happening here. And I will just give you a small glimpse of why is Europe a melting pot for this industry. And so I can say, welcome to How to Freizeitpark Abroad, the international business podcast for leisure makers. My name is Stefan Burian, I'm your host and I am a freelancing consultant for operations, HR and guest experience. I strongly believe that operations and HR lead to a good and great guest experience, which will be sustainable for our industry because we need to be successful in what we do. And what are we doing? We make people happy, we make people smile, we make them forget their own daily life for just a couple of hours, just to have something, you know, to be relaxed with, to be lost in a different world, in artificial worlds. And that's what we do. And why is Europe a melting pot? And why do I believe that Europe is the best in doing exactly that? Is because we are so diverse, we have so many different backgrounds where people are coming from, especially when we look at the history of the theme parks, especially in Germany and also in the Netherlands. Most of the theme parks and attractions we have, they have not a background which comes from the entertainment industry, but most of them are, I don't know, architects, even lawyers. We have, of course, showmen, people who are running attractions like the family Mack, Roland Mack, when he opened in 1975 the Europa Park in the south of Germany, which is one of the biggest theme parks in Europe and the biggest hotel complex in Europe, I mean, I believe even in the world. It's crazy what they are doing. Their background is from being part of the showmanships. And being one of the manufacturers for their wagons where they slept in and traveled with. And then they started to build their own attractions. And on some point, the son of Franz Mack decided, well, we need to have a showcase. So we built the Europa Park. And there we are, 50 years later. Europa Park is one of the biggest innovators in our industry. And I don't want to be big-headed, but I do believe, of course, you see very many similarities in the park with Disney, because of course Disney was the begin of everything. Walt Disney has done so many great things and put up such a high bar in innovating and engineering. Of course, there is, everything has its roots on some point on Disney. But what they did is to make their own spin on it, and they did it pretty good, pretty well. And this is why Europa Park is so successful today. But is this one point where I believe that Europe is a melting pot for this industry? Maybe, because Mack is also a huge manufacturer. They are manufacturing almost every single roller coaster you see. There is not a single theme park they haven't any Mack rides, and you know they have also so many flat rides and dark rides, so at least there is one product in every single theme park in the world. But also there are so many other small things, and I think what we have in Europe is also the big connection to the region. If you go a little bit more to the north, still in the south of Germany, there's a small theme park called Tripsdrill, which is very local cultural influenced from this whole area. And Tripsdrill is a family-owned business, and it all started with a mill and a slide. And this whole theme park is, I know it sounds incredibly weird when I say that, but the park has a very close culture to the area, which is the Schwaben area, and people have their own very, very strong dialect. Even for me as a German, it's sometimes very hard to understand what they are saying. But you see that every local thing has its own right. So, for example, there are so many tract rides where they have, you know, like a soup dish ride, and it spins and it goes along a track, and everything is surrounded by plants and flowers, and it looks nice. There is a wooden roller coaster which is themed to a sawmill. You have a flume ride, and the boats are bathtubs, and you are going to the Jungbrunnen, to the fountain of the youth, and there are so many nude animatronics in this ride. I mean, that sounds incredible, and I don't know many theme parks that they have such R-rated, adult-rated content, and it's really interesting to see. I mean, of course, we are in Europe a little bit more relaxed with those topics like nudity, but there are so many other things that they are doing great, especially when I go a little bit more to the west. When I look to the Netherlands, for example, there's a small theme park maybe you have never heard of. The park is very close to the Dutch border, and it's called De Waabeek. And De Waabeek is special because, first of all, the concept that they are having is an all-inclusive package. So you pay your admission ticket, and with your admission, you have all soft drinks and all snacks included. That means you can eat so many French fries while you're visiting the park, or you can drink as much soft drinks as you like, and it's just a great value for money you have. But also, this park has one of the oldest steel roller coasters in the world. It's called the Rodelbahn, and it has been opened in 1930, and it's still operating. And this is crazy. You have so many cultural, historical things. I mean, if you just look at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, if you are looking to the Efteling, there are so many historical things that they're coming from Europe, which also leads to the second thing why I do believe that Europe is a melting pot, is because due to all those all those historical things we have also so many manufacturers that are located in Europe. For example, you have Vekoma in the Netherlands, you have Intamin with his in the southern of Europe, you have Bolliger and Mabillard with their infamous huge track layouts and their impressive roller coasters. You have, of course, the Firma Mack, you have Zira Rides, SBF Visa, Zamperla, and so on and so on. There are so many manufacturers just in Europe because we all started here from steel business, from steel industry, from coming from different backgrounds, but found their roots on some point and coming back to the point where they said, okay, we need to manufacture new rides, and we need to develop and innovate new crazy things. And Vekoma, Intamin, and Mack are the biggest innovators we have right now. We have also on different levels other suppliers and manufacturers that who are very valuable to this industry. When I look to SBF Visa or Zamperla, they are suppliers for different budgets. Of course, we don't just have epic universes and Disneylands everywhere, but we have also so many different family-owned businesses, and they have a tight budget. So, of course, you need to have a supplier or a manufacturer who can offer better products for smaller budgets. So you look, of course, to SBF, to Zamperla, and so on. I can't think of another one right now. ETF, when you build a dark ride, which are located in the Netherlands. Lagotronics, who are a supplier for so many interactive dark rides. Vigant slides, if you have slides or water slides, you think not only of those huge American suppliers, but also Vigant is very famous for their different products they have. And there are so many engineering things. If you think about Werner Stengel, who designed the first or engineered the first rideable looping without getting your spine crushed. This is coming from Europe. And we are still innovators. I wouldn't say that we are innovating in the term of how we run our businesses. I do believe that we are still behind in Europe, that we can be more digital, can be more electronical, can be more guest-focused, and especially when I think about things like participation in our attractions, even with people with special needs, like guests in a wheelchair or people who are not mentally fit to ride an attraction. There are so many things we can still be better, but I do believe that we are still a good innovator, especially when it comes to new and crazy things. And when I look back at one park who is still, in my opinion, hard to describe because I have like a love-hate relationship with it, it's Disneyland Paris. And you will hear that more often in this podcast and in this show. Disney is great what they are doing, but I do believe that they have jumped the shark very early and they are struggling with their own bad decisions they've made in the past couple of years. For example, introducing Genie Plus, putting up a price on almost everything, being incredibly expensive in so many smaller things, and offering engineered great rides, but on sometimes I do believe that it's just the fans that they are serving and not the average guest, and that what makes me feel not bad about Disney, but I'm struggling to find a proper opinion. But what I do believe is, especially when they opened Disneyland Paris and that they are trying to build their own versions, for example, that they build a bigger version of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride in Paris, or that they just didn't copy the Haunted Mansion and build the Phantom Manor, which is more focused on the Frontierland theming and has some Western vibes in it, which looks incredible, and I really adore the Phantom Manor, or even the Space Mountain version we have in Paris with this former Jules Verne steampunky look with the great music. I mean, now it's Star Wars, and it still looks weird because it still does look like a Jules Verne from the outside, but the soundtrack is not that good anymore, and just putting in screens everywhere. I don't know. I'm really struggling to find a good and proper opinion about it. I'm not a huge fan of that, what they are doing right now. Also, not being very straightforward with their own concepts, like Disneyland Paris with their second park, the Disneyland Studios next to it, which will become Adventure World in some years. I mean, Adventure World. How generic can be a name? Is this Disney anymore? I don't know, but that's another thing for another episode. Coming back to the innovation part, Disneyland Paris has so many unique rides, and we have so many unique concepts in there, and we have so many other unique things we have here in Europe. For example, things that they are historical developed and have a huge connection to their own hometown. When we look to Austria and we look closer to Vienna with the Prater, which is one of the oldest fairgrounds, and it's a location-based entertainment, so it's not temporary, but it has this temporary feeling to it, but also this old charm of having this old, you know, World Expo-styled feeling with it, but it's it feels still like a fun fair, but it isn't. It's hard to describe. You need to go there. Or Tivoli Copenhagen, which is one of the oldest theme parks in the world, and it still looks incredible with their own feeling and look. Or Liseberg, I do love, and that is a weird flex, I need to be open about it, they have the most beautiful corporate design I've ever seen in a themed attraction. Really, all those patterns and colors they use, the language they use, how they advertise things. It is so incredible that this is still their own thing and it's not a copy of something. And on the other hand, when we go a little bit smaller, I mean, you know Vienna Prater, if you are in this industry, you know Tivoli in Copenhagen, you know Liseberg, and of course you also know Andreas Andersen from Liseberg. So you can see there's a huge showcase of great attractions we have here in Europe. But when we go a little bit smaller, there are so many nice experimental concepts we have. When we look, for example, at the Netherlands, immersive entertainment is coming to Europe, and we are slow in this niche. I mean, we have some cities like Berlin or London where we have immersive theaters and immersive stage productions here and then, but I do believe it's still a niche, it's still very small, but also immersive and immersion comes more into location-based entertainment. And there's one great example, and I really can suggest visit it. It's so incredible. And it's called Dolores. It's how do I describe it? The funny thing is, when you visit their website, they really can't describe it for themselves, and that's what makes it special. And the other thing is, it's so immersive that you're not allowed to take pictures in it, you're not allowed to have your watch with you, you're not allowed to have your mobile phone with you. You go inside, not completely nude, please don't get me wrong, you still have clothes on, but you're inside and you are experiencing like an adult indoor artsy playground. So you need to crawl, you need to climb, you need to jump, you need to slide, and you can experience everything. There are no limits, no boundaries, except of the rooms themselves, and it's a free flow attraction with some small narration to it. But this is so unique and so incredible that the very first time that I went there, I was almost 2 hours or 3 hours inside the attraction, came out completely drenched. I was sweating because I was so exhausted of all the climbing and running and sliding, and you know, and I had such a great time. And when I was speaking to my colleagues who were with me, I realized I haven't seen all of it. And this is so much fun, to have an attraction that is so unique and so experimental and so immersive that you're so inside this very artificial world that you lose yourself, not also in time, but also in room, in space. And this is so incredible. And there is already a second attraction of Dolores. One is in Utrecht and the other one is in Tilburg. Both is close to Efteling. So if you should visit the Efteling on some point, you should plan to visit Dolores as well. There's another thing called a Maze, which is in Amsterdam, which is a light and sound immersion attraction. But I'm losing myself in making so many trip-related recommendations here. But what I want to pin with this episode, Europe is a melting pot for this industry, because we have all the big attractions over here. We have Europa Park, we have Fantasia Land, we have all those smaller attractions you might have heard of, like Tripsdrill, like Movie Park Germany, the Efteling is such a huge player, Walibi in Holland, there is Walibi Belgium in Belgium, which is getting better and better every year. We have the Vienna Prater, we have in Copenhagen Tivoli, we have one of the most beautiful zoos in the world in Belgium, which is called Paradisa. If you have never heard of it, just look at it. I put all those attractions I've mentioned here in the show notes so you can look them up. It is one of the most beautiful zoos and one of the zoos where I'm not controversial when it comes about habitats and how do they keep their animals. I'm also very critical on that, but I haven't had any complaint while visiting this attraction and also sleeping in the zoo. They have their hotel just spread around the whole zoo. So if you book a room at the Walross habitat, you have a huge window in your room, which is half underwater, so you can see immediately into the tank where the walruses are in. This is so incredible. You have Liseberg. Scandinavia is rich of incredible and unique attractions. If you go to the UK, if you go to France, for example, you have Puy de Fou, which is one of the biggest and craziest show theme parks in the world, and they are expanding as well. And when we go back from the attractions to the manufacturer side, Intamin, Zira rides, B&M, Vekoma, Mack, KUKA, which you know maybe from the Harry Potter ride system, which is a German manufacturer, ETF, Lagotronics, SBF, Zamperla, Vegant rides, and also slides. There's so much going on here in Europe, and it's so... I'm so proud to see that there are so many attractions from all over the world, from the Emirates to America to India to Asia, where they come to Europe and go to all those manufacturers or all to those attractions to see all those rides in action and say, wow, this is so great. We want to buy that. We want to have that in our own attraction. And this is so cool and great and makes me really, really proud that we have such a rich culture of leisure attraction manufacturers and also leisure operators and professionals here, which are known all over the world. I mean, if you look at the IAPA, the current CEO, Jakob Wahl, he's from Germany and his roots were in Europa Park. So this is where his origin story started. So what should I say more? And if you are a young professional, I do believe there's also not a better area or region to work in and work with and make your very first experiences in attraction design, in attraction operation than in Europe. Because I talked about manufacturers, talked about engineering, talked about the attractions, but there are so many suppliers and planners and creative agencies here. Jura Vision, we have Creative Studio Berlin and all the other names I can't remember right now. But there are so many professionals and experts here in Europe, and that's the reason why I do believe that Europe is the melting pot for this industry. We are not, as I mentioned before, the fastest when it comes to innovation. I think we have to be more efficient and effective on those points. But I do believe that even as an origin of most of the things you have in a theme park right now, we're still doing a great job. And I still believe that we are developing, innovating and expanding even more. Because when we look to the Eastern countries in Europe, like Poland, for example, there's Energylandia, which is like the Cedar Point of Europe, if you like. But Poland is having a really big boost of new attractions and new theme parks built right now. I believe that there's, I think, two theme parks coming to Poland next year. They are opening FECs, so on a regular basis, I would say. So there is movement in our industry. And yeah. I'm really starstruck right now to think about all those beautiful things. Of course, there are so many critical and things and challenges we have, but I would say we can focus on the challenges on another episode. And I hope you are enjoying this episode right now as I enjoyed to dive a little bit, not really deep, just a shallow dip into the water of our industry here in Europe. But I hope I can give you a small glimpse of what is going on in Europe, what kind of origins and roots do we have, and why is everything coming from here and spreading all over the world. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you enjoyed this small journey around the manufacturers and attractions we have here. If you are keen to learn more about myself, just visit my website stefanburian.com, and for further information about my services and all the attractions I've mentioned before, just hop into the show notes. Thanks for listening and have a fantastic time.